the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to Journey number 88 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring The Gold Bug by Rish Outfield. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. Today I bring you the final winner of the 2014 Edgar Allan Poe Writing Contest, a story by Rish Outfield. And I think you're going to like this story, so let's just get right to it. Rish Outfield is a writer, a podcaster, a voice actor, and an audiobook narrator. As you may know, he and Big Anglovich run the very entertaining Doonsteef Audio Fiction magazine. He also has his own podcast called The Rish Outcast. And just recently he started doing another podcast, a Star Wars conversation podcast with me, called Star Wars Delusions of Grandeur, which I will talk about later after the show. Now Rish, he's also a gambler, and he liked his fancy clothes, and he liked to wear his diamond rings on everybody's nose. He got a custom Continental, he got an Eldorado too, he got a .32 gun in his pocket for fun, he got a razor in his shoe. Some would say that Rish is better than old King Kong, and meaner than a junkyard dog. This story is mostly narrated to you today by Pat Crane. Pat Crane is a podcaster, he's a voiceover professional, he's an audio editor, he's a musician, and he's a nerd for life. Pat is a lot of fun to listen to, and he has a lot of different podcasts where you can hear him. He, along with other people, run the Convert to Raid podcast, which is about being a raider in the World of Warcraft. He also does another World of Warcraft podcast called Legendary. And then he and Jules Scott do a fun little podcast about TV called That TV Show. And I listen to that pretty regularly. It's a lot of fun. Pat also recently started doing some YouTube videos, kind of a video cast called Inside the Studio, where he talks about podcasting. He talks about the different type of gear you might need to use, the different kind of software, and he's very knowledgeable about audio production and audio value, as he's done it as a professional. And he makes it fun, and it's very educational, very fun podcast to listen to. I encourage you to go check out all of those if you're interested. And I'll have links to that, of course, in the show notes. But for now, why don't you come with me, and let's journey into the car for a road trip. And we can journey into the mysterious land of California.
The Gold Bug by Rish Outfield. We got to go on a family vacation every 3 years. Mom and Dad didn't have a lot of money, but we could either go on a small trip every other summer or a big one every 3 summers, and somebody had decided on the second one. This was our year, and we were going to California to see the ocean and go to a theme park. I was 11 and wanted to see Universal Studios, or Knott's Berry Farm, or the one for grown-ups. I forget the name. But I had two younger siblings, and they wanted to go to Legoland, and I was outvoted. My older sister, Melinda, could have sided with me, but she was 17 and didn't want to go in the first place, but as she was being forced to go by Mom and Dad, she cast her lot with Corey and Chamberlain. We loaded into the SUV and left Tulsa, and drove all the way across to California. Southern California was exciting, but it took too long to get there. And when we did, there was an unreasonable amount of traffic, everything was yellow, and a lot of stuff was dirty. And gas cost nearly $5 a gallon. On the other hand, it seemed like there was always a cool breeze blowing from the west, and that was a nice change from 100 degrees in the shade. Our family wasn't a perfect one, but things had been worse than usual that summer. I just wanted it to be like it was when there were 4 kids, instead of Melinda and the kids. Melinda was in a sour mood, having just gotten, and been fired from, her job at Blimpy and no longer having the excuse of work not to come along. She was always fighting with Mom about the stupidest things, like how many buttons she did up, or what time she got up in the morning, or whether her hair was in a ponytail or just straight. When Melinda's iPhone went dead, she complained for 2 states and only shut up when I lent her my charger. We had a motel reservation waiting in Carlsbad. That's where I first saw the car. I had left my backpack in our SUV, so went out alone to get it and noticed a Volkswagen Beetle parked 2 spots down from our car. It was custom painted gold and had a bumper sticker on the back that said, "If you're not angry, you're not paying attention." I thought about that sticker for a while, wondering what I should have been paying attention to, and even stranger, whether I was even angry or not. I got my bag and went back to the room I shared with my brother and sisters. They had locked the door and wouldn't let me in until I threatened to tell Mom and Dad. Melinda was upset because her makeup was in the container on top of the SUV and she couldn't get to it. I couldn't figure out what she needed makeup for anyway, since she was just with her family, and we weren't going out beyond filling the gas tank. Chamberlain had the remote control in her hand and was flipping through the channels at a rate so extreme it was impossible to tell what language each channel was in, let alone what was on it. Corey told her to go back, and she stopped on the news. "Body of teenager found," the headline, or whatever you call it, on the bottom of the screen read. But she changed it to SpongeBob. I started watching it with them, hardly aware I'd seen the news story until later. We went to the beach the following day, and that was a lot of fun. I did see a guy standing in the motel's lobby when we were leaving the next morning, a skinny, twitchy guy with a ski hat on, in August. Either this dude was a total knob, one of Dad's favorite insults, or he was wearing some kind of disguise. It made an impression on me. The next time I saw the gold bug, I knew I was indeed paying attention. We were all at Denny's, and I was facing the window, waiting for my food. The VW slowly drove past, and a couple of minutes later, it drove past again. I squinted, trying to see who was behind the wheel. It looked very much like the driver was wearing a ski cap. This guy was, what, stalking us? Stalking me? Trying to decide where to have breakfast? I thought then of that dead teenager on the news. My sister Melinda was a teenager. Suddenly, it all made sense. Suddenly, I was afraid. We came from a small Texas suburb with small town problems, but Dad always said California was a dangerous, polluted place. I thought of that dude's eyes in the lobby, that squinty, nervous look. Those were the eyes of a criminal, or a crazy person, or the guy playing a serial killer on the cop shows. I couldn't relax until we were on the road again, heading for the beach. And once we were there, I forgot about him completely. It was a sunny day, but not too hot, and my younger siblings had never seen the ocean before. The 3 of us ran into the surf, jumping when each wave hit us, sometimes clearing it like a hurdle, sometimes getting bowled over. We splashed and ran around and dug for little crabs where the water and the land met. Good times. There were public restrooms just off the sand, and I went to the bathroom there, then crossed through the parking lot on my way back. I froze mid-step. There it was again. The gold bug. If you're not angry. This was no coincidence. No way. That scuzzbag with a ski hat had followed us here, too. He wasn't in the VW now, but he must have been around, close by, maybe watching us. I couldn't do anything about him. Wait. He wouldn't be watching me. He was after my sister. He'd be following her, wanting to get her alone. Maybe I could call the cops and tell them, what, that I was 11 years old and suspicious of a stranger in his obnoxious car? That wouldn't work. But we were leaving the beach soon. Mom had said within the hour. Maybe I could do something to keep him from following us anymore. There were two trash barrels right by the parking lot. One was full to overflowing, the other was almost empty. In the full one, I found three beer bottles, Miller High Life. I made sure no one was looking, serial killer or otherwise, and I crept up to that gold VW and wedged the bottles between three of his tires. I figured he was most likely to look at the one on the driver's side front, so I left that one alone. He'd back up, and pow! I knew it would work because it happened to my uncle at the mall one time. He ran over a glass bottle and it popped his tire. He'd introduced the 7-year-old me to the worst word there was and wondered why anybody would do that. Now I knew. I was feeling both nervous and guilty when I went back to where my family was gathered on the beach. Dad was buried up to his neck in sand, and my little brother was trying to bury himself. But then I looked around.
Where's Melinda?
Suddenly, my guilt faded and the nervousness increased.
She's around somewhere,
Mom said, scanning the waterline for her. She sounded mildly annoyed, not at all worried.
How long has she been gone?
Dad asked.
No idea,
Mom said, reopening her third romance novel of the trip. Dad's head cocked in my direction.
What's she up to, son?
That surprised me.
What?
Did she take the car keys, honey?
Yes, Mom, but I had seen the car parked where it was supposed to be as I crossed through the lot. Mom still had her keys, but Dad suggested she call Melinda just in case she was up to something, as he put it. I volunteered to make the call and dialed quickly, my heart hammering more in my throat than my chest. It rang 6 times, each more horrible than the last, and then she picked up.
What?
She demanded, as nasty as could be. I was so relieved, I almost welcomed her bad attitude.
Are you okay? We don't know where you are.
Jeez, Toadstool,
she growled. She sometimes called me Toadstool as an affectionate nickname, sometimes as an insult.
Are you my brother or my jailer?
I can be both.
Tell her we're leaving,
Dad said, trying to stand up.
Right now.
Chamberlain whined beside him.
But you said we had 15 more minutes.
And tell Melinda she better not be up to something.
My sister swore through the phone, obviously hearing him, and hung up. We piled into the car 20 minutes later, sandy and smelling of salt water and or sunscreen. Melinda was sullen, as usual, but I was happy to see her frowning face. As we backed out of the lot, I expected to see the shifty-eyed stranger watching us, but he didn't seem to be around. Back at the hotel, I played Uno with Corey and Chamberlain, and Melinda took an insanely long bath. At one point, I decided to ask her about the gold bug and whether anybody had been bothering her. I knocked on the bathroom door.
Go away,
she shouted.
It's me,
I said, figuring she thought it was either Mom or Dad.
Leave me alone, I hate you.
I opened my mouth to shout back, then closed it. For some reason, I felt tears come to my eyes. I went back to my little brother and sister and let them beat me at cards for a while longer. The next time I looked outside, which was that night after pizza, the gold VW was back. I couldn't tell from that angle, but I thought the tires might be new. I guess this creep was determined. I swallowed. The car was empty, which meant the guy was out and about. I ran across the motel room and locked our door. Then I went back to the window.
What you doing?
My brother asked from the bed. I didn't answer. The shifty-eyed stranger was in the parking lot, his winter hat on, moving slowly up the sidewalk. He held a grocery bag and was glancing up at the rooms on the second floor. His eyes met mine for a moment. He reached into his back pocket for something. I suddenly had to go to the bathroom. After doing so, I decided the time had come to talk to my parents about the stalker. I'd feared they wouldn't believe me before, but now I'd make them believe. I left the room and took 2 steps before I heard my sister laugh. Melinda was in the hall, on her cell phone, heading toward the stairwell. I paused for a moment, deciding whether to talk to Dad or follow my sister. I, too, moved toward the stairwell. She was already gone. I heard her voice below me and went down the stairs. I didn't dare run, but went down as quickly and quietly as I could. There she was, walking through the first floor corridor. She was doing some kind of shaky behind dance. I wondered if she was on drugs. Behind me, the stairwell door slammed with a sound like a kettle drum. I squealed, spinning around. No one was there, but when I turned back to explain my behavior to my big sister, no one was there either. I ran to where I'd last seen her. One of the motel room doors beside me closed then, and I heard the chain go on. My mouth went dry. He'd gotten her, right in front of my eyes. As fast as my legs would carry me, I ran for the stairs. In their room, Mom was sleeping. She'd gotten sunburned at the beach. But Dad listened to my story intently.
He was wearing a ski cap,
I added, as if that would help somehow. The scowl on his face grew stronger. His expression was not unlike Melinda's when she'd been forced to go on this trip.
You don't believe me?
I asked, suddenly near to crying again.
Do you know the room number?
Dad asked, his teeth gritted.
What?
The room she went into?
Yeah, it was 106.
Dad went to the door.
Stay here,
he ordered and left the room. He hadn't even taken his shoes. I was usually an obedient son, at least when Dad was this angry, but I couldn't just stay and do nothing.
Should I call the police?
I asked, following him out into the hall.
No,
Dad said, stalking toward the stairwell.
I'll take care of it.
I know where his car is,
I said, trying to be helpful. He stopped.
Maybe you'd better check to make sure it's there. 106, right?
Yeah, 106.
Dad headed for the elevator, and I took the stairs, descending them two at a time. I got outside and saw the gold Volkswagen parked there, and realized Dad had just sent me away. I glowered, but I didn't know what I should do. By the time I decided, it was all over. Melinda was back with us, now in Mom and Dad's room, and instead of looking relieved, she looked mad. It was hard to tell, though, since she kept crying in silence. Dad told us Melinda got herself into a bit of trouble, but we were still going to have a nice rest of our trip. I went back to my room and looked out the window. The gold bug was gone. I asked Dad if the guy got away, and Dad said,
He won't be back.
And then put his hand on my shoulder.
But if he does, let me know.
Chamberlain proclaimed that Melinda had been visiting her boyfriend, but I knew the truth. My quick thinking had saved her life. Which was more likely? That Melinda had a secret boyfriend hanging around us, or that a psycho had decided to make her his next victim? We went to Legoland and, you know, it was really fun. Melinda pouted and complained, but she was alive, and that's all I cared about. I'll admit that when we went out to the parking lot, my eyes scanned all around for that gold bug, but none were visible. I hope that creep had learned his lesson not to mess with my family. Me, in particular.
The cast of characters for this production includes Pat Crane as the narrator, Robbie Latham as the young narrator, Megan Latham as Melinda, Nicole Latham as Chamberlain, Parker Latham as Corey, Kelly Latham as Mom, and me, Marshall Latham, as Dad. So, as with all of these Edgar Allan Poe contest winners, I really did like this story. And I thought Risch really captured the mind of a child really well. And just, you know, the thoughts and the feelings that they have at that age. And I think it was just a lot of fun to see things from his perspective. And to see him get worried about his sister. And even though they fought and didn't get along, he still had this care and this concern for her that kind of drove him through the story. And he built up this nemesis so much in his mind. And, you know, to him, this was a really scary thing. As it kind of turns out, as you read between the lines of the story, the situation wasn't as sinister and dangerous as he had imagined. Or was it? I think he could really just get into this kid's head and see where he was coming from. And, you know, Rish commented to me after he heard Richard Freeman's Imp of the Perverse, you know, how good that story was and how it was so much better than his story. And, you know, they really weren't even in the same league. But, you know, I really do have to disagree. I liked each of these stories because they were different from each other. They were each... I know this sounds like a like a soccer coach saying that each player is special. But that's really not the vibe I'm going for. You know, I really did pick these winners. I really did pick these stories because I liked them. I liked what they had to offer on their own. And they're not all the same. They're not all a spooky, scary story. And that's what I wanted. I wanted diversity. I wanted different types of storytelling, all borrowing from these titles of Poe and including some element of mystery or intrigue or tension or fear, you know. And I think all of these stories had that. And I really did like this story. I really felt that it captured the innocence and the urgency of childhood and how everything seems bigger than it is in reality. And, you know, I think it's reminiscent of movies like Super 8. And of course, this is a more simple story. But I liked how it was just kind of a, you know, I kind of got the feel that this was a person who was older, who was reminiscing about this experience that they had as a youth. And so in my mind, as I read the story, I kind of got a Wonder Years vibe feeling for it. And that's why I thought Pat was the perfect choice as the narrator, as a man in adulthood, talking about this experience he had when he was a boy with his family on this road trip to California. And, you know, Rish does a really good job of including just small little elements of everyday life, interaction with his brothers and sisters, perceptions of things. You know, I just thought it was spot on. I thought he did a really good job. And you can feel the tension that this boy has. And so, yeah, you know, hopefully you enjoyed it as well. Hopefully you enjoyed going along for the ride. And hopefully you've enjoyed all of these stories from the contest. As I said, this was the last story that was one of the three top winners of the contest. And I am going to read the other two entries that I got for the podcast. And I'll read that on Strewn Along the Path. And I'm not going to commit to a time for that yet. But I will be reading those stories, and you can hear them on the Strewn Along the Path podcast. Probably in the next couple months, I'll be reading those stories. As I mentioned before the story, Rish and I have started up a new Star Wars podcast called Delusions of Grandeur. And it just kind of came about from this podcast, me talking about Star Wars and my experience with Star Wars, and Rish enjoying that and wanting to talk about it with me. So I had him on the Strewn Along the Path episode. And, you know, we just thought it was so much fun that we figured we could make a podcast out of it. We could talk to other people about their experience with Star Wars, and we could talk about different subjects. And so far, we've had three episodes of the Star Wars Delusions of Grandeur podcast. And the first show, we had Dave Thompson from Podcastle on and talked to him about our favorite scenes from each movie. The next one, we had Big Anklevich on the show, and we talked about this critic from back in 1983 called John Simon and his scathing review and opinion of the Star Wars movies. And there was a segment on the news program Nightline with Ted Koppel, and he had Siskel and Ebert on the show to kind of counteract this critic John Simon. And so we talk about that with Big. And the latest one that I just put on earlier this week is a talk that we had at the New Media Expo with Renee Chambliss, who's a big Star Wars fan. It was so much fun to talk to Renee about Star Wars and to see her enjoyment of it. It reminded me of talking with my sister about Star Wars, you know. And we had so much fun and we didn't have a lot of time. It probably could have got on for a long time. I think I just heard Rish and Big talking about this on their That Gets My Goat podcast as well. And they were saying the same thing, that it just seemed like we just started talking and just started getting into a lot of good discussion about Star Wars when we had to kind of cut it short. So we'll definitely have Renee on for another episode in the future of Delusions of Grandeur. And so I'm going to definitely put a link to that in the show notes. I've been putting it in my Twitter feed and talking about it on Facebook and stuff, but I haven't mentioned a lot on this show. In fact, I think I'll play a promo.
Hello, I am C-3PO, Human Cyborg Relations, here with my counterpart, R2-D2. Because I am translating, R2, how else will they understand what you say? Oh, run a self-diagnostic, why don't you? We are here today to talk about the Star Wars Delusions of Grandeur podcast, a show named after a line I spoke in The Empire Strikes Back. I am aware Captain Solo also said it, but I'm quite sure we are more beloved characters than he is. Anyway, it is a conversation show centering around Star Wars topics, which should be quite informative and entertaining, if it survives the unfreezing process, that is. All right, perhaps it is not so much informative as lively and opinionated, as all good podcasts should be. You can find the show over at www.delusionsofgrandeurpodcast.blogspot.com. I'm just getting to that, R2. Join hosts Marshall Latham of the Journey Into podcast and from the Doonstief audio fiction magazine, Rish Outfield? Oh no! R2, we're playing the wrong promo! Ooh.
And so I just wanted to give you a little bit of an introduction to that here. Hopefully you'll enjoy that podcast as well. It's only going to be once a month, thereabouts. It's not going to have a regular schedule, but our goal is to do it around once a month. And so, check it out. Speaking of being at New Media Expo, while I was there, I was the moderator of one of the panels that we did. And the topic for my panel was choosing the right content for your podcast. And I had Dave Thompson from Podcastle as a panelist, and I had both Big and Rish as a panelist from the Doonstief on there. And I thought it was a lot of fun. It wasn't meant to be a big, heavy, deep panel, you know, just some general tips, some general ideas of how to start a podcast, choosing what you want to, how you want to present yourself, and those types of things. And that was fun to do. And that'll be coming out on Strewn Along the Path podcast, either the same night that this podcast goes out, or very soon after. I'll point you in that direction as well. I also wanted to encourage you to provide feedback for the podcast. That's one of the things we talked about in the panel, was, you know, fostering feedback from the fans. And I've had some great feedback. I've enjoyed hearing from people that enjoy the show. You know, like I've talked about Bria Burton, I talked about Tom Tancredi, and there's many others that have reached out and let me know that they enjoy the show. But, you know, I really don't have a good idea of who you are, of who is out there, who's listening to the show. You know, I just, in my mind, I envision, oh, most of the people listening to the show heard the Doonstief, heard my name, came over and thought they'd listen to this podcast as well. And that's great. I'm grateful to have any of the Doonstief audience listening over here. And if you found me another way, that's great too. But I would like to get a better sense of who's out there, who's the fans, what are you interested in. I do have a forum for the podcast where you can go on there and talk about each episode, talk about other things that you would like to talk about. There's several posts on there to get involved with. The website for that is journeyinto.freeforums.org. Like I said, I also have a Facebook page. If you look for Journey Into on Facebook, Journey Into on Twitter, I'm also there. Love to hear from you. I'd love to get as much feedback as possible. It really inspires me to do more and to do better. And so please do that. Also, if you're a fan of the podcast and you'd like to donate money to the podcast, you can go to journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com, and there's a donate option there for the show. It could be a one-time donation. It could be a subscription type donation. I'd love to be able to get more original stories. But in order to do that, I need to pay the authors. And so I would love to get more money in order to do those types of things. Anyway, I don't talk about it a lot, but I would encourage you to donate to the show if you like it. If not, you know, I don't talk about this a lot either, but if you want to go on iTunes and give me a review on iTunes, apparently, from what I hear from everybody else, that's how a podcast can get recognized. And so, yeah, if you like the show, you want to let people know about it, go on to iTunes, give it a review. I guess this is the episode where I'm talking about a lot of things about the show, kind of administrative things. But, you know, talking to Big and Rich, talking to Dave Thompson, talking to a lot of people, and the things that I heard at New Media Expo, hearing from people like Scott Sigler and other people who really have done a good job of promoting themselves and getting their podcast and their content out there, was basically, and you can actually hear this in the choosing content section, is one of the ways to avoid pod fading or getting burned out on a podcast is to get help. And I've asked for help a couple times, but I really probably did it half-heartedly. But I really could use some help with this podcast. I'm probably going to take a little bit of a hiatus after the next couple episodes just to get my bearings and get a couple other things, other commitments out of the way. I'll be putting content up, but definitely not as often as I have been. I'm going to take a little break for a couple months probably. But in the process of that, I'm hoping to kind of re-gear, restructure, reorganize how I run this podcast behind the scenes. And so I would like to have help. I need help in order to keep this podcast going, in order to keep up with the demands of my work, my family, and this podcast, and other commitments that I have. And I really don't want to be one of those podcasts that just goes away. And hopefully you don't want that either. If you're willing, if you're able, I could use your help. How can I use your help? Well, I've thought about that. I've given it some thought, and I've come up with a couple different areas that would really help me out on this podcast. And I've kind of listed them in the order of the most help that they would be. Probably the biggest thing that would help me are these intros and these after the story conversations. That takes a lot of time. I say a lot of ums. I put strange spaces in between my sentences, in between my words, and I like to edit that. I like to get it into a form that is more pleasant to listen to than hearing a bunch of you knows and a bunch of ums. And so it does take time, not as much time as producing a story, but it still takes time to edit the intro and the outro. And a lot of times I'll have the story ready to go, and then I'll record my intro and outro, and it'll take me a while to edit that down. And so if somebody would be willing, if you know a little bit about editing, about using Audacity or Reaper or anything like that, that has even rudimentary skills in audio editing, or want to learn it, I can teach you some of the things that you would need to do. And again, this isn't producing a full episode. It's just editing my conversation, making it sharper, making me sound better than I really do. If you'd be willing to do that, that would help me out a lot. You know, I could just record the intro and the after the story conversation and give it to somebody else, and then I can get it back, slap it on the show, and go. That would help me a lot. Another thing that would help, of course, would be anybody that's willing to produce the stories for the show, add some music, put the cast together. And I know that the Dune Steve is always asking for these things too, and I always feel kind of guilty asking for that, because First of all, I don't know if I'll get anybody, because if they want to do it, they're probably already doing it for the Doonsteve. And if not, or if people that are doing it for the Doonsteve start doing it for me, then I'm taking some of their value out of their fans and their support there. But yeah, if you are interested in producing an episode, you know, I've had some people that have helped me out. Chris Monroe has done a few episodes and he does a good job. But yeah, if anybody else would like to produce audio stories for the show, like I said, put the cast together, put some music in there, as many sound effects as you want. That would be great. I would appreciate that. And now we're getting into even more mundane type of things. Another thing that takes a while is just when I get the episode done, I have to put the post together with all the links and get everything set up and get it in archive.org and then link to everything properly in Blogger, make sure it gets onto iTunes when I post, you know, and then I have to put up a post in the forum. And I have to promote it on Facebook and Twitter. Some of that's automatic, but some of it doesn't always work. You know, just that type of stuff would be great to hand off to somebody else to do. Again, somebody could do the intro, outro. Somebody could produce the story. I could put it all together, hand it off to somebody else, and they post the episode and put up a post in the forum. You know, they make sure it shows up at Facebook and Twitter and all these things. That would be great. That would be very helpful. I guess along with that, if anybody would like to do episode art, and when I say art, it doesn't have to be from scratch art. I don't do that. I just grab stuff, pictures or whatever from the internet and put my logo on it and the title and things like that. I enjoy doing that, but it does take time again. And I'm just thinking of ways that can tick off these things that take time and effort and cause me not to be able to get episodes out. Prevent me from doing the other things that I should be doing as the host and the producer of the show. A couple more things, and again, this could be several people, this could be one person, I don't know. But maybe a wrangler. You know, if I buy stories or I have stories that I want to produce, maybe somebody that can go wrangle a narrator and I could communicate with them and make suggestions, or they can just go find these people to be voices in the cast or to do a single reading story or whatever. But just somebody to grab those people and take care of all that. That would help me a lot as well. They could also do the emailing to get the stories or to let the people who were involved in the podcast when an episode goes out. I tried to send an email out to everybody that was involved, the narrators, the author, and just kind of let everybody know, hey, it's out there in the world. Go take a look at it. You know, somebody could be doing that. I know I'm asking a lot, but if I don't ask, then I'll never get the help. And that's kind of what I'm learning, that I can't do it all, or I can do it all, but I'm not going to be as efficient, as effective as a podcaster if I try to do everything like I'm doing now. And some of that is a little bit hard to give up some of that control. But hey, if you're fans of the show, I'm going to be able to trust you. You're going to have the show's best interest at heart. I'm going to have the show's best interest at heart. And we can work together to make it better, to make it greater. All right, I think I'm done pitching things and asking for things. But if you're interested in any of this, send me an email at journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. Or become a member of the forums and get a hold of me that way. Message me on Facebook. Message me on Twitter. Just reach out and let me know that you're willing to help, and I'd be willing to work with you. So next week, we'll be back with the last Edgar Allan Poe story for this year. It'll be The Gold Bug by Edgar Allan Poe. And, you know, I have to say, I have been so grateful for the great talent that has helped me out this year with the Edgar Allan Poe contest. You know, I got some great people to help me out. I had Julie Holverson. I had Norm Sherman, Dave Robison, Pat Crane. Great narrators, great talent, and they've been so generous and so willing to help me out. And next week is no different. I have some great narrators and great generous guys to help me out with this last Edgar Allan Poe story, The Gold Bug. It's a long story and it was a lot of work. And so Big Anklevich and Rish Outfield went out of their way to help me narrate this story for you. I didn't even do a part in it. I was going to, but they did such a good job with their reading of it that I felt that whatever I had to offer would only downgrade the quality of this story. And for various reasons, I've kind of hesitated to produce this as a podcast, but with Big and Rich's help, I was able to pull it off. They were able to pull it off. And so I hope you come back and listen to that on the next journey that we go on. And it was really nice. I was able to visit Big and Rich in their studio, in where they do their podcast. And, you know, I've been traveling a lot this year, it seems, already. It's only been a month and a half. But, you know, I've traveled quite a bit for work and other things. You know, I've been various places already. So it's already been a busy year, but I was able to get with Big and Rich to record next week's discussion as well. Whew, I think I've talked a lot, probably more than I have in a long time. But until next week, stay safe out there and journey on.
This is Anthony Wilson from the Drama Pod, and I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it, however, and with whomever you would like. The theme music for the podcast has been provided by Man in Space.